this is the day. Than any other day should remind us we need to be impressed with Jesus. Amen? Merry Christmas, everyone. The title is Behold the Good News. Behold the Good News. And it's from Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, okay, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And God's people said, you know, during Christmas, we're looking for unique gifts, good deals. A lot of us looked for parking spaces, you know. Children make their list of what they want for Christmas. And students, you know, we have students back from college. You guys are very happy that the finals are done and you have a winter break. And as a Christian, during Christmas, you know, we notice the nativity scene, especially if it is in our town square. I notice it. The secular town has a nativity scene, you know. I notice those things. We notice when Christmas music has Jesus in it when we shop. You know, they mention Jesus, you know, in this mall. But my challenge to Catalyst during the busyness of Christmas rush, not just give Jesus a glance, but behold. Okay? We need to behold. The angel tells the shepherd to behold. Okay? Behold. And what does it mean to behold? Okay, we need to stop. We need to meditate. We need to think about Jesus and Christmas. We need to understand Jesus and Christmas. On Christmas Day, the angels point out, behold, okay, the good news. Not bad news, not stressful news, not, pressure news, what's going on in the world, but the angel points out, behold, the good news. And my first point, the good news, number one, what's the good news? God loves you. Okay? God loves you so much. You know, John chapter 3, verse 16, you know, is the most famous verse. You see that during NFL. You used to see it, you know, the signs. John 3:16 is the most famous verse in the Bible. And it talks about an incarnation of Christ, incarnation of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And what this passage tells us, Jesus became a human being and came to earth as a baby to die for our sin. This Jesus incarnation, that's the Christmas message. Jesus' incarnation, Jesus' birth. And point number one is God's love incarnated. Okay? God's love incarnated. He didn't just want you to read about it. Right? He did something. He incarnated. He became a human being. He was born as a baby. And he shows that how much he loves you by dying for our sin. You know, we all agree that love is good. When you hear a sermon on love, we all agree, we say amen, we get excited. And, you know, the concept is there, the thought is there. But God did not just stop at the concept of love. God did not just agree that love is good. He incarnated. He moved in love. Okay? God's love is moved from attitude to action. God sent his son, and Jesus has done his son die for our sins. Christmas shows us how much God loves us. God is not waiting to punish us. That's why the message is, he says is supposed to be joyful. Okay? God's not waiting to punish us. Instead, the Christmas message is God comes to human being as a baby to save us. The angel says, fear not. Okay? Fear not. You see, fear makes you look at the wrong things. Okay? If there's a lot of fear in your life, you look at all the negative things, you look at all the things that doesn't work, you look at all the things, what you did wrong, what other people did wrong, that's what fear does. Okay? Fear looks at what is wrong with you. Fear remembers your past mistakes. Fear makes you judge. Fear makes you hide. Fear makes you run away. Instead of fear, the angel tells the shepherd, I bring you good news that will cause great joy. Right? That will cause great joy. Christmas is a time for great joy. Right? Great joy. You might not have the gift, kids, that you wanted. Right? But there's a greater gift. Jesus Christ. You know, Christmas is a time for great joy. Why? Not because of the good food. It's nice to get together, yes. Not because of the good gifts. Because of the good news. Okay? This is my challenge. Think about the good news during Christmas. God loves us so much that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, put your faith in Jesus, trust Jesus, give your life to Jesus, you will have eternal life, an eternal relationship with God. Amen? Point number two, the good news, two, God has mercy on you. Okay? God has mercy on you. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, God is love, but at the same time, you know, God is just. He's just. You know, that's part of his character. He loves, but he's also just. And God couldn't just pretend that sin never happened. Therefore, he had to punish us for our sin. God can't just, you know, hey, you know, Daniel, your sin? I'm just winking at you, you know. He couldn't just wink at our wrongdoing. And the good news, Jesus took the punishment. Jesus took all the anger. Jesus paid the penalty for every weakness and every sin. For those who trust in Jesus, eternal anger, okay? This is the good news. Eternal anger is turned to continual mercy. There's mercy. Okay? God not just loves you, God paid the penalty for your sin. In other words, God forgives. Okay? God forgives you. In other words, if you behold Jesus and his work on the cross, there is mercy. There is mercy. And for anyone here, if you're desperately seeking the mercy of God, you don't have to search anymore. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait to get your life all straightened out. You don't have to wait for a significant or dramatic event. For those who are in Christ, there's abundant, amazing, continual mercy. You can come to God. Okay, what does it mean? Good news. There's mercy. You could come to God in your weakness. Okay, did you hear that? This is the good news. If it says you got to get your whole life straightened out and you can come to God, that's not good news to me because then I can't come. Right? It's not good news. Right? You can come to God in your weakness, in your sin, in your failure, in your shame, and in your brokenness. You can approach God. Why? God has mercy on you. The good news, God wants to show you mercy. In Jesus, there is now no condemnation. Amen? Point number three, the good news, God gives you abundant life. Okay, say that to your neighbor, God. Okay. And this is the promise of Jesus, and I believe in Jesus. You know, he never lied to me. John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Okay? The good news, when God comes into your life, God promised you abundant life. The good news, yes, God loves you. God has mercy on you, but it doesn't stop there. There's so much more. Those who put their faith in Jesus, because of God's love and mercy, there's forgiveness of sin. The consequences of sin has been overcome. But there's more. Right? There's abundant life. I know we live in a broken world. I'm broken, you're broken, and we went through a hard time. And maybe you think the future is bleak, but I want you to hold on to this promise. Because Jesus' promise is this. There is more. There is abundant life. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you're going to have a Mercedes to drive for the rest of your life. That's not what it means. That you will have a big house. That's not what it means. Okay? Abundant life. See, in our heart, there's so many messed up things in us. And what God promises, freedom from bondage, healing from brokenness, there's supernatural power of God to live that abundant life. What does he mean, abundant life? Okay? What does it mean? You know, when I was in the Korean church, what that meant for all the family was that their kids would go to Harvard. You know, that was it. We believe in Jesus. My kid will go to Harvard. Okay? Well, it didn't happen in my family. You know, I mean, me. You know, I didn't go. No, what does this mean? Abundant life. Relationships are restored. We are healed. We're set free. Hearts are transformed because of God, not because of our human effort. We're able to live a holy life, a compassionate life, miraculous life. There's healing, deliverance, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Christian life for some, again, the church that I grew up with was gritting their teeth and just bearing it, that's Christian life. In Christ, the Bible says there is victory. Okay, there's victory. There's an overcoming. Jesus talks about Christians, the church of Jesus, breaking down the gates of hell and overcoming it. Jesus talks about Christians making disciples of all nations. All nations. Not barely finishing the race, but this is what Christianity means, winning the race. Okay? Say to your neighbor, you are a winner. What? You know, 1 Corinthians 9, it says, to get a crown that will last forever. To get a crown that will last forever. There's things that we want. If I don't get that, my life will be miserable. No. There's something that God offers as a Christian, a crown. I don't think that's just eternal life. It's a crown. Right? A crown that will last forever. God wants to bless us so much through us. God wants to change the world. You know, Christmas is not just to glance, but behold Jesus. Not just listen to Jesus knocking, but open the door and invite Jesus into your life. And the passage that God convicted me before I came up is Revelation. Can I have the worship team come up? Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I don't have it up there because, again, I got convicted before that. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him or her, and he or she with me. Okay. You know, we have it's so joyful. Many different families together. I see some of the parents are here, some brothers and sisters that go to other churches are here. You know, but thank you for coming to Catalyst. But the important thing is not what church, you know, you went to. I sense the family. It could be husband and wife. It could be parents and children. It could be sister to sisters or brother to brothers. And some of you grew up in this church and you have brothers and sisters here. And you go, you know, I'm only 9 years old. But you know what I realize? Even though you might be 9 years old, there's mistakes that you made as a brother or as a sister to your brother or sister. You know, there's things that's going on in the family. There's generational sins. There's alcoholism that go down from generation to generation. There's divorce that goes from generation to generations. There's fatherlessness. There's control. There's rejection. There's abandonment. There's neglect. And when God gave me this passage, I said, God, there's so much pain in this world. There's so much pain in our home. There's so much pain in the church. And I held on to that promise. I have come, Jesus says, to give you life. And I held on to that promise as we were worshiping the Lord. I'm believing in that promise. Because I was saying, God, if you don't encounter you, if you don't move, if you don't touch us, we have no hope. Do we want to be that church? You know, because, again, the childhood church that I grew up with, it wasn't Jesus. It was politics. It was competition. It was showing off. It was about image, how you looked. It was about impressing other people. And I didn't see Jesus at that church. And here, what Jesus says is, I'm standing at the door, and I'm knocking. So many people in the church, they're okay with just hearing the knock. Ah, Jesus is knocking. Praise the Lord. He's knocking. But there's an invitation for us. Can you go and open the door so that he could come in? And that's what I want to ask right now. but you need to open the door, okay? Or he's going to just keep knocking. I pray for the marriages here, especially here. I pray for the, you know, I see, again, I'm so thankful for the families that came. Not from Catalyst, but that's here, relatives and families. Between relatives, Lord, bring healing. Jesus is knocking. Open the door to the relationships, to the marriages. Open the door. Holy Spirit, come. Invite Jesus. Say that or speak that out. Jesus, come into my marriage. And we made a lot of mistakes in the family. Your pastor made a lot of mistakes as a father, as a husband, as a child growing up. I was a terrible child. Church I grew up, man, the embarrassment was greater than the joy of the Lord. What other people thought, thanks of me. How other people see me. No, look at how Jesus sees you. How he sees you. In your brokenness, he cannot stay away. In your sin, he will not reject you. He will not push you away. In your brokenness, Jesus went to the cross for you to bring healing. We can't be a church without an encounter with God, without Jesus coming in. The work of God. God, move, Lord. Move. I want to encounter with you, Lord. I see somebody here. It's the wife. Everybody around you hurt you. And there's so much anger that's coming out, but that anger, again, is not, that's not who you are. It's just all the rejection, all the pain that you're carrying by yourself. And Jesus is knocking on the door. Let him come in. And he's asking you, give me that burden. I'll carry it for you. How can we be a church without encountering Jesus? Thank you. people here, Jesus now, he's inside now. You open the door. He's not asking you, I want to use all your gifts to glorify me, to lift me up, to make my name known. That's not what he's asking you. But he's asking you, give me all your disappointments. All your disappointments. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And this is the promise of God, I will give you rest. If you think you're going to find rest and accomplishment, good luck. Once you accomplish it, you got your degree, you need another degree. You got that degree, that master's degree, you're going to need a PhD. It's not going to give you rest. You got that promotion, that's going to be my rest. And 6 months later, you go, no, God, that wasn't rest. So you think, maybe the next promotion will give me this peace, this rest. Come to me, Jesus says, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let's believe together. There's nothing compared in this world to the rest and peace that comes from Jesus. Holy Spirit, fruit of the Holy Spirit, peace, Lord.